welcome to Minutes with Monica, where you will experience life beyond faith to a life that is transformed, a life that is transformed in peace, and in my hopes that it is transformed in your faith relationship with the Lord. I am so grateful that you are here in this space with me. If you are not aware of all the other resources out there, please go take a peek at monicaswank.org or look me up on my ministry page on Facebook. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. That way you're always going to get the resources. So this month I have been speaking about faith and marriage, and I really love this podcast because I'm really excited for what it says to me, and I hope that it'll say the same thing to you. I want to start with a question, and I'm just really curious. Think this through and really ask yourself this question. Are you a listener or an observer by nature? I am. And I know some of you are out there thinking, there is no way, Monica, because your mouth never stops moving. Well, there is some truth in that. But first, I am a watcher of people. And actually, it's how I learn, it's how I absorb information. And so I really am truly an observer. It's because I'm curious. For those people in the world, I'm curious of their lives. And I want to hear and see the things that are going on. And I'm curious if you are one of those people. Do you ever hear in the back of your head those childhood adult voices saying to you, it's not polite to stare, it's rude to listen to other people's conversations? Yeah, it haunts me regardless. I cannot stop because there's value in it, right? I learn a lot about human behavior. And as a chaplain, this is a good quality to have. By observing, I don't have to wait until I have some personal encounter with someone to gain knowledge in how some people process and or receive information. I wish when I was upset with my spouse, I could remember to do this. You know, have you ever just watched other couples, at least for a little while? Because what normally happens when I'm involved in this activity is I realize a couple of key things. First of all, one of the things that I'll notice right away is that my problems aren't really that bad, especially my marital problems. Watch people. I'm telling you, you're going to be amazed. You know, that feeling of frustration or even hurt and anger that we carry around sometimes towards our partner, that can really dissipate if you just start to watch other couples. I am able to see how other couples treat each other, and then those feelings will just start to fade because they really don't have much power. And really, I'm not just saying this. Have you ever watched a public display between a couple in which there is no, like N-O capital letters, or not affection available or present in any sense? Some of these arguments can be really nasty, like from name calling to serious hate driven screaming. I know we've all seen that couple. And in that watching that, in that observing, it makes me recognize the fact that my husband, who might have forgot to do the dishes or forgot some important thing in our lives, is really not that important. In fact, it's kind of really stupid at the time. Or the fact that I felt hurt or rejected by some action of his, it just kind of seems to dissolve into thin air as I witness other people who have far greater struggles. Now, I'm not saying it's gone. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm just saying it kind of gets put in its right place. But there's another side of that that does the same thing for me as well. Have you ever watched that older couple who models this deep love or appreciation? Appreciation is huge, right? Have you ever seen that older couple who just models that for one another? There's so many different examples, but it could look like something like this. Like the husband opens the car door and he's met with the sincere thank you. It's not just a gesture that is assumed. It's that she really and truly appreciates it with all sincerity of her heart. And so she shares that as a sign of gratitude to him. Or how about that hand holding? Have you ever watched an older couple hold hands? You know that that has been a loving relationship over time. Or how about kisses in public? I love to watch older people who kiss in public. Just a gentle tap. Nothing like we don't need to see, but those gentle kisses remind me that it's okay to publicly share your love. I am one of those people, so I hope that my husband and I are still at 70 and 80 giving smooches in public. Because that stuff makes my heart melt. It makes me realize the level of love. It makes me kind of feel like crud when I'm holding some grudge in my relationship or when I'm in the wrong in my marriage relationship. I titled this podcast, Writing Your Story in the Stars, based off of that last thought. You want to be honest for just a minute. I get really mad at my husband. If you are privileged to know us, you'll understand why. If you're not privileged to know us, what you should know is we both are pretty hard-headed people. And sometimes that means I get really mad at my husband. Like, not just upset, but full-fledged ticked off. And sometimes I think how nice it would be to not be married, or at least not be married to him. I know that's not what you wanted to hear, but sometimes that runs through my brain. And maybe you've been privy to hear marriage counselors or pastors or even other Christian leaders who talk about how to have a long-lasting marriage. And one of the key things that they use is they say, don't ever use, say, or think about the word, that D word, right? That word, divorce. And I wouldn't disagree with them, but sometimes my brain goes there. Here's why I wouldn't disagree with him. Because when we allow our thoughts to come into our mind, or when we allow thoughts, not our thoughts, well, they are ours, but you know what I mean. When thoughts pop into our brain, a couple things happen. And this is not scientific. I'm just talking here. But if you have explored my website, that you're going to see in my material that I do talk about this more in depth. And so you'll recognize where my next comment is coming from. You see, we have this preconditioned way of receiving information in our lives. It's a really specific way. And if we've never shifted this, then we can get into real trouble if even a hint of the word divorce comes into our minds. We might resist it for a while. We might think we have control over it. But if it just sits there and it's just lingering unattended, it really can grow into a sense of justification. And sometimes even something greater like distrust. Jealousy moments develop. Things that we don't necessarily see in us or in our relationship can be spawned off of this thought that just is lingering. But remember I said I'm not good at keeping this word from popping up. And for these reasons I just said, my self-talk goes to my self-talk. Yours goes somewhere else. My self-talk goes to thoughts like, he doesn't really care. He doesn't really love you, or he doesn't really love me. I wouldn't be missed if I wasn't in his life. And man, wouldn't life be so much easier if I didn't have to worry about him, or I didn't have to deal with his crud. That's where my self-talk can go. But these things are not true, not even by a long shot. And I know that because every other day of our lives is represented that way. In the moment, it's different. But not a long shot. The bulk of our life is not played out like that. And you see, I think there are a lot of factors that play into allowing this word to filter into or our lives, or at least my brain. Probably yours too. I've already mentioned insecurities, but there's also past history, life events that we've experienced, culture. Culture is a huge part of this. You sit right there in this space right now, my friends, and tell me who you can, in your friend group, who has not ever experienced some kind of divorce, whether it's them personally or their parents, or right? Divorce is a huge part of our culture. And you know what? I don't know what your culture tells you, but mine says that divorce is no big deal. Yeah, there are some serious obstacles to each of them, but they all can be overcome. That's what the culture tells us, right? Yeah, you can handle this financially. You can handle all the kids on your own, right? You're much better off. You know, and I bought that lie once. And sorry if I seem insensitive, but I'm not going to buy into that again. And I hope you won't either. I'm not picking on you if you have divorce in your history. My hopes is that you will hear some of these truths and that you will connect with them and that you will be able to move beyond them in your future relationships. So what do we do when the D word pops up or pops in? Again, it still pops in my brain. And you know, I have spent a lot of time educating myself and healing some past hurts that I now have the ability to stop that word at the door. Imagine this. It comes knocking, right? And I greet it and I say, hey, you're not welcome here. You're not welcome here. There's love in this place. I can't see it right now, but it's here. You're not welcome here. And then when I shut the door and its stink tries to seep up under the door crack, I just hit it with a heavy dose of antiseptic spray. You know that friend who uses a bottle of Lysol to clean out any infection in the room. That's me, right there, hitting it stink. There's no way. I don't combat it with words, but with actions that prove otherwise. Heal the problems. Move on. There are so many different options when we want to move beyond that focus. Do it with actions, not just words. And if you can't do that easily, keep trying until you can, because I promise that you can. When you live out of a humbleness and a selfless place, those things will come easier. I'm not saying you always have to be the one to say, I'm sorry. That's not what I'm saying. But even Jesus said, how many times? 70 times 7. Was there a limit on that? I don't think it's a matter of mathematical skills. I think the point is that we always forgive. Why? Because we always need to be forgiven. And unless you're in a truly abusive situation, but even Sally, then you should be able to think of a time when your spouse did something kind or loving towards you. So you're going to combat the D word with actions. Part of those actions are remembering the moments in which your spouse did something kind or loving towards you. You know, honesty is key here. I say that in everything, and I mean it. Let me just digress for just a second, because I said this in another space, and I'm not sure what it was, blog or a video, but I have lived in a life where I spent time, a lot of time, lying, and it is not a good place. There's nothing healthy about it. There is nothing restoring or shaping in your own self, not to mention all the people that it impacts outside of you. But when you can learn to live more honestly with yourself, your growth will come in huge ways. So honesty is key in every aspect of life, but it's really key in marriage relationship and the way you face it, not necessarily between partners, but the way you are honest and you face it. It's not about ignoring the current situation, right? But it is about seeing beyond it to the story that you want to write in the stars. Let me give you an example here. The Old Testament is full of marriages that are, plain and simple, a hot mess. I'm so grateful my daughter brought this to my attention. Because if the people of God couldn't get their faithfulness to God right, what makes you or me think that their personal lives were that much better? Yep, I pointed a finger. But only so you could see that some of those families wrote their stories. Think about it. Adam and Eve messed up. Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca, David and Bathsheba. These are just a minute list. There are so many others that we don't have time to recall them all. But ponder this thought for just a few minutes. None of these individuals walked away from one another. Oh yeah, my friend, there was divorce in the Bible. Don't believe there wasn't. And there were unfaithful partners. There were deep hurts between married couples, but these couples stuck it out. And what a story they were able to write in the stars when thousands of years later, Jesus was born to restore his people because of these individuals' ability to stick it out. There are times when I'm speaking, sometimes that it feels like I'm making light of a situation. I promise you that I'm not. Well, I can't relate to all of your marriage stories. I'm not without moments. In my first marriage, there was real unkindnesses and selfishness on both sides, not just his, on mine as well. It came to a point that when we were separated and the kids and I had moved out, I was so uncertain of our lives that a man who had previously never laid a hand on me, in my brain and in my thoughts, suddenly I envisioned as this man who I could most fear in life. And so in order to move out, I asked the sheriff's office to be present for a civil standby. My friends, that is what our brain can do. It has power that we do not recognize. Going further back, I can share with you horrors that occurred in my home as a child. My biological father was a physically angry man, and you need to understand the difference in writing stories on stars because you remained faithful to your marriage partner and sticking things out in extreme situations. There is a huge difference, and I would never, ever support you sticking it out in extreme situations. But if you're able to grab a hold of any dream for your marriage, think about what would your story look like? How would your partner be involved in that dream? This is your dream. Make it what you want. If you could hold on to any dream for your marriage, what would your story look like? And how would your partner, your current partner, be involved in that dream? What things would you embrace together? What things like activities or family? How would you do life? I was having a conversation with my daughter the other day about relationships, and it brought up some reminders of my own marriage. And this doesn't tie into this, but it's fascinating how that stuff happens, and it restores some things for us, right? When we're reminded of our dreams and our visions for our marriage. You know, I have to tell you this story. I'm not giving any secrets away here. This is just something that I learned. And so I was really excited about, because I once read a book called The Man Whisperer. It's written by Rick Johnson. And I remember learning so much about my husband from that book, wealth of information in there. And there are all sorts of books out there regarding how to develop better relationship skills. Few of them come to mind. Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus by Dr. John Gray, and The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman that has existed for, both of those books have been around for a long time, but there are literally hundreds out there. And there are some that have spanned, like I said, a good number of years. And one way in which we can be better at relationships is to learn something about the other person. I'm not talking about them as an individual. I'm talking about them as a group, a subgroup of humans, right? Male or female. So these books on genders really, really can help us to gain information on the other person and how they process. And I remember as I was starting to say about this book that I'd read years ago, I remember as I was reading it, we'd drive down the road, and I took this book everywhere with me, a short little book, but it was so informative. And I would look at my husband and go, "What? What really? Do you think like that? What?" And his response always to me was, "Is that wrong? Yeah, I do." But it was so eye-opening for me because I don't respond that way. And so this book was so valuable because I literally had no clue. I know that we think we know our spouses, and they probably believe that we do too. This is why arguments get so intense at times, because we really just don't know each other. One key factor plays into it, and that's that biologically men and women receive things differently. Their brain functions are similar, but different. Just for fun, if you don't believe me, check out the video on YouTube right now. And it's probably been around for a while, but I just saw it recently. It's by Mark, I want to say his name right, I'm not sure I will, Gunger. And it's called The Tale of Two Brains. Funny little video, but so true. And if you take the fact that our brains function similar but are different, and we add to it that all of us grow up under different family units, who embrace their own traditions and ways of doing things. And then on top of that, process for acknowledging and handling problems are taught to us at a young age. We're bound to get things distorted in a relationship from time to time. But this takes me back to the idea of the story that you're writing. Adam and Eve had to weed through the fact that they had a son who killed his brother. Think about it. If they had been so deeply crushed and they'd stopped having children, then we would not have had Seth, who established the bloodline for Christ. David and Bathsheba's first son died shortly after his birth. And if David had wallowed in his sin, or if Bathsheba had refused to be comforted by him, then they wouldn't have had their next son, who is King Solomon, and built the first temple for Israel, in which they worshiped God. None of these people knew with complete certainty that their stories would be remembered. Nobody had that crystal ball into the future, right? They didn't know they would be remembered throughout the generations of all humankind. And certainly none of them knew how incredible their stories would become, nor did they know that it was because of their specific unions of marriage that great things would not just bless them, but bless all the people of the world. I know when I ask you what your story that you're writing in the stars will be, that you're not unlike these biblical men and women, and that you have not an inkling of how it will end. In the last 2 years, I've been honored to witness, and I say honored with this all sincerity of my heart, I've been honored to witness multiple deaths. And of these, I've watched as married couples for decades say goodbye to one another. And I can tell you with confidence that these men and women had no clue when at the ages of 16, 17, 20, whatever age, that when they began to do life together, that they would write history. And I pray for you right now that as you face relationship challenges, you will find a way to build a wall of protection around the sanctity of your vows. I want to say that again. And my friends, I do pray for those who listen to this podcast. I pray for you right now. Accept this prayer that as you face relationship challenges, you will find a way to build a wall of protection around the sanctity of your vows. I pray that you will strive to work to develop a method or methods that help you to navigate through arguments. I'm still praying for you, my friends. And I pray that you will long to look back with joy and tenderness of heart on the life that you have built together, that you seek always to forgive and to heal the hurt that you cause one another. My friends, I am so honored that you have chosen to allow me to take this journey with you. I pray regularly that you take away some nugget. Not every aspect of this podcast is going to bear into your life, but I pray that you will take away some nugget that you can institute and you can use in your own space, on your own journey through life. I love you. I thank you for this time together. Blessings for you.